Okay. Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
All I can do right now is put on a brave face and go out there and be their leader.
It's over. We are screwed.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Nick and Weiss here with you. No Ethan this evening. Before we get to today's show, you know we got to take care of the housekeeping. Available everywhere: iTunes, Audioboom, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. If you could be so kind, please subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Follow me at Nick Zeraris, follow Weiss at NYG Daily, follow Ethan at EthanGSN, follow the blog at GothamSN. Weiss, we're sitting here. I won't say totally surprised, but I would say moderately surprised that both of them stayed.
Not surprised at all, but go ahead.
So to me, I felt that they had to throw someone under the bus for this season. That was kind of why I felt that it would be Dable, even though you could argue Dable's arguably done a better job than what Shane has done to this point, which some people have argued, and I wouldn't totally push back against that, but it feels like there were no consequences for this season. Like, Shane Bowen's going to get thrown under the bus, but like, what did you really expect from that defense? You know, you lost Dexter Lawrence halfway through. You don't have a cornerback who can cover anyone of note. And it really feels like we're missing the forest for the trees. I think that's my biggest takeaway here is, well, yeah, sure, the defense wasn't very good, but if you're coming away from the season as John Mara and saying, well, I like these guys, I trust these guys, but the defense, you know, the coordinator that the coach I like picked, that the general manager signed off on, that they picked this guy and this was the best we could do. It just feels like there's no object permanence here, that we didn't learn anything from this past season, that there was nothing from this season we learned other than Daniel Jones is not an NFL quarterback and maybe Shane Bowen isn't a good defensive coordinator. But I don't think we needed 17 regular season games to figure that out. I think that's my biggest frustration sitting here right now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because I sort of saw this coming, you know, about a couple weeks ago. I know a lot of people in the media kind of began to put stuff out there about this being, you know, they're going to judge these two guys separately. But I just never thought that anybody respectable would take this job. And I don't think that they had an appetite to want to, you know, do this thing of fire the GM, keep the head coach. And I think ultimately, whatever they sold the ownership group on, I think that's what ended up, you know, working. I heard about, you know, before the Indy game that, you know, ever since the benching of Daniel Jones, there was an actual meeting between ownership and Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, where they sort of highlighted their plan of A, why they want to bench Daniel Jones, what their goal was the rest of the season and as heading into the offseason. And I think that that's what sold the ownership now, you know, obviously as the losses continue to pile up and the fact that they were not competitive and the offense continuing to struggle. You guys have heard me multiple times on this podcast saying, hey, player development and Daboll's offense has to be able to function. That's how you save Brian Daboll's job. Apparently his offense didn't need to function and the players didn't really need to develop. But it's clear that I think three things. Number one, whatever Joe Shane and Brian Daboll told ownership over the last, you know, 8 to 10 weeks, most notably the last 2 to 3 weeks, it worked. Number two, I think ownership just, for a multitude of reasons that I think we'll talk about, didn't want to have another head coaching search or another overhaul. And I thought number three is it's obvious that they wouldn't have been able to get a respectable head coach in here to coach this team had they just fired Brian Daboll.
I definitely agree with that sentiment. And I definitely want to talk about that to some degree because there are, at the very least, interesting candidates. And one of the things that some franchises really struggle with, and something that I think the Giants are really starting to deal with, is they become so insulated in their own way of thinking. You know, the Giants are very, very stubborn in that, well, we know what we're doing. You know, we've had this team in our family 100 years. We have an understanding of what it takes to run a football team. And the Giants have consistently treated being bad as a matter of bad luck, as opposed to what they're actually doing. And I think that's why I am so unbelievably frustrated about this entire ordeal, is when you are this bad, this consistently, it's not bad luck. You know, and we talked a lot about, we like Joe Shane's process, but things didn't work out. That's part of how this works. You know, you can make good decisions, and if they don't work out, ultimately history will document them as bad decisions because they did not work out. And the Giants continue to treat these mistakes as isolated one-offs instead of a consistent pattern of mistakes. And it's not just Shane, it's not just Dable, it's the last handful of coaches, it was the last GM too. And continuing to say, well, these are good guys, and because they're good guys, they're going to make good decisions, as if there's a correlation between morality and being good at making football decisions. There's such a hang up on, well, I trust these guys, I like these guys, I believe in their vision. And John Mara couldn't articulate what their vision was. He said, well, I don't think we got better on either side of the ball. I don't think the roster is very good. And there was no, well, I know we disappointed this year, but because of what I've heard from Brian and Joe, I feel confident in the direction we're going in. There was no ringing endorsement. And we'll get to the idea of a playoff mandate, because that is ludicrous. But just looking at this as a decision-making exercise, not even a football decision-making exercise, just a decision-making exercise, I don't know how you can look at this from any measure as John Mara and say, I feel like I did my job, because you didn't. You kept familiarity for the sake of familiarity. There is no silver bullet solution here. You know, we spent 20 minutes on last week's episode arguing about, well, if they get the stopgap quarterback, they get the reclamation project, they can buy themselves another year and they can wait for the better quarterback draft 2 years from now. Or if they take a young quarterback in the draft this year, and we'll talk, I'm sure we'll talk about that at some point as well, you're going to drop a guy into a non-functional offense and expect him to elevate everyone around him and start winning football games right away in a mandate year? It just feels like every single possible thread you could tug on in this decision-making process tells you this was the wrong decision. And I think that's why everybody is so both irate and at the same time hopeless. You know, there is no, help's not on the way. There is no obvious solution. And look, maybe Shador, maybe Cam Ward, maybe Sam Darnold, maybe a veteran who's available in a trade, maybe they come in and they're able to get them to, you know, 7-10 next year. Is that good enough? Are we all content if we go 6-11, 7-10, and we hold off, and low, and don't forget, they go 6-11, they're not going to be in a spot to take Arch Manning or one of the other young quarterbacks, Dylan Raiola, whatever. So you can't have it both ways. And that's kind of the issue right now. They want to have it both ways.
Yeah, I think with the John Mara press conference, I mean, it was just so embarrassing. First of all, the way it was constructed, him sort of just walking up to a scrum of media members and kind of just, you know, winging it. But really, it was like this, how it started, the stuff he was saying. Look, there was no way for him to justify keeping Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. But what he could have done was he could have sold the blind faith a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he could have came up there and said, hey, guys, listen, I know some of the drafts haven't been good enough. We still believe in some of these young players. You know, obviously we drank the Kool-Aid on the first year. Obviously that was, we kind of got off script, off our plan. And I take some responsibility for that. But ultimately I believe in these guys' long-term vision. I don't want to put a timetable on it. We're going to move forward and we're going to, you know, build this the right way. Again, a lot of empty words, a lot of just, fluff, but it's a lot better than what he did. I mean, and look at the, out of one end of his mouth, he talked about running out of patience. At the other end of his mouth, he talked about, you know, I believe in their process. Well, process requires patience, you know? And for him to kind of basically say, hey, you got 1 year to fix it. Well, fix what? You know, they don't have talent. Let's just take away the quarterback situation. They don't have talent on their roster. Their best two players are still players that were drafted by the previous team. So it's tough to like look at it and say, you know, this team is not close to the playoffs. Like, regardless how you feel about the quarterbacks coming out, obviously that's the most important position in football. But no quarterback, you know, no realistic quarterback is walking out that door and fixing all these issues.
Nope.
You know, and this requires time. This requires patience. This requires, you know, really an understanding of how your football operations is being run. Because you are going on a decade plus of just losing and bad drafts and bad decision making. And, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about standards and the Giants' standards have fallen. And I hate to beat a dead horse on this, but like, to me, the standards fell a long time ago. Yeah. Like, yeah, once upon a time, Tom Coughlin had to justify why he deserved another year after back-to-back playoff appearances. Like, that was standard, right? But in 2017, Nick, it was the first time in over 30 years that the Giants' general manager position was open, where they had fired a general manager. You know, I don't want to give everybody a history lesson, but the George Young to Ernie Accorsi to Jerry Reese was a succession plan. You know, those were all, you know, a George Young, Ernie Accorsi built front office. John Mara has never hired an actual good general manager. You know, he's batting zero when it comes to that. But that, to me, the standards fell in 2017, how they handled sort of like the first real opportunity to make change. That's when all of this fell. That's when the standards fell. That's when I've realized that this is, we're not basing everything on wins and losses. There's a whole other element here with ownership that I think why the standards are so low. And that's why coming off a 3-14 season where you lose 10 in a row, where you're essentially the laughingstock of the NFL for the entire year. And it's your 100th season and there's planes flying and you have angry fans and you have fans just full of apathy. And, you know, you go 1-9 at 1-8 at home and you're 0-6 in the division. You're losing to the Philadelphia Eagles third string quarterback or fourth string quarterback. I don't know where he was. I mean, and all of a sudden it's business as usual. Well, you know, I'm sorry if you're new to this, but this is the Giant standard. And it's like, you're a fan and you think that a quarterback fixes this, cool. You probably are going to get your wish because they're going to try to go get a quarterback, a young guy or somebody in free agency, whatever. You're going to get your wish. But I'm telling you, like, this organization's standards have fallen so much. And the evidence is just look at the last decade. Look at the people they've hired. Look at the people they've fired. Look at the people they drafted. Look at the teams they built. Look at the comments ownership has made. Look at the way John Mara has conducted these press conferences. How many times has John Mara stood in front of a microphone and said, nobody's more angry than me, and then proceeded to do nothing to fix it?
It's appropriate we're having this conversation the first week of the new year, because this is one of my favorite things I love to talk about in the domain of sports, is the idea of action versus intention, because you can intend to do good things. You know, that old cliche about the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The idea of, well, yeah, I want to get in shape, but I don't really want to work out. I don't really want to eat right. And there are an awful lot of people who signed up for gym memberships in the last week who by the middle of February will no longer be using said gym memberships. And that's effectively where I'm at with John Mara. He says he's tired of this, that this is unacceptable, but he does nothing to change it. There is no material change in the way the organization is structured. There is no material change in the way the organization operates. I'm sure they're going to either take a quarterback, trade up for a quarterback, or they're going to take the best player available and spend a ton of money in free agency to try and make this roster as passable as possible and make it the next guy's problem. And the idea of the desperate general manager is something the Giants are familiar with. You know, absolutely. We saw Jerry Reese do this. We saw Dave Gettleman do this where, oh, I'm on the hot seat. I need to go burn a bunch of money in free agency. I need to go and burn a bunch of assets on the trade market to make my team better, because at least if I make the team better and we still lose, I can point to, well, we got player X, Y, and Z. If you just give me a little more time, I can believe I can get more out of them. And one other point out of this, and you had said it before, well, who's going to take the job if you're going to coach under Shane? Who the hell are the coordinators going to be next year? Yeah. Because Kafka wants to get out of here. You know, he's interviewed with a few places. Very clearly last year, the way the offseason went, there was an intention on his part to try and get out of here. And ultimately, it didn't end up happening. He lost his play calling responsibilities. That's something John Mara very weirdly commented on, too, of, well, Joe, talking about Dable, well, I don't know. Is that something Brian needs to do? Do you think you benefit from doing that? Well, John, you're the president of the football team. You need to know whether or not it's a good decision if the head coach is calling the plays or not. You shouldn't be just deferring to them by default, because I don't know if you know this, but the offense was better last year than it was this year. And the coach took direct play calling responsibilities this year. So at a certain point, I just can't take him seriously. And that's the issue. The Giants are not a serious football team because they're not run like one. They're not run like one. And there are good coaching candidates available. And the Giants, for all of their nonsense, if they hired a serious football person to run the football department, they probably could have gotten a decent general manager and a decent head coach in here this cycle. But the Giants don't want that. They don't want that. They want to work on their own succession plan. They want the nephew to one day be the CEO of Giants football operations. So we're not going to have a general manager reporting to a president of football operations who reports to ownership the way that most of these franchises are run in the present. You know, it's agonizing to watch, knowing there's a better way. And that's the thing that sucks about it, is, yeah, I don't have a direct map. I don't have a path to get the Giants out of this. There is no silver bullet. But you can look at what other teams do that works as far as structure, as far as front office, and say, well, I don't think that's going to work. You know, like the news today that the Jaguars head coach is going to report directly to ownership. Sitting here right now on the outside looking in, I can tell you that's a bad idea. The Giants, similar boat. Well, who reports to the owner? Well, Shane has a line to the owner. Dable has a line to the owner. Are they on the same wavelength? Is everybody on the same page here? And again, I don't know, because eventually someone is going to have to wear this. Right now, they're looking like they're going to get off light and saying it was Jones, it was the defense. And that's not good enough, because it was more than just Jones and the defense.
Yeah. Look, you can't, and I keep going back to the presser. In one breath, John Mara says, yeah, we got a lot of holes to fill. I don't know if this roster is better than what than 2022 with what Joe Shane and Brian Dable inherited. And then the next breath, he basically says, it better not take too long to fix it. Well, what he's implying is like, yeah, you better go all in. You better use every dollar of the cap space. You better use every draft pick to try to be a playoff team or a team that's in the hunt in 2025. And I think that's the wrong approach. Mm-hmm. So when the general manager and the head coach actually go through with that, and I know Joe Shane kind of said, I'm not going to do that. We all know he is going to do that. You know, you can't blame them, because that's what the owner's telling them to do. Forget about them trying to save their job. John Mara told them, you need to go all in 2025. That's what he told them. He said, we have a lot of holes to fill, and it better not take too long, and I've just about run out of patience. What does that mean other than, hey, you better be all in to try to at least be close to a playoff? What that is, I don't know. That's why I think that if he stood up there and he said, hey, look, there was stuff that we did after year one where we drank the Kool-Aid on the playoff success. and we got off script and we got off our original plan of tearing this down and rebuilding. I take some blame for it. Obviously, I put some blame on Joe and Dayball and the whole organization. But we still believe in our original plan, and we think, you know, there's some stuff that we liked with our draft in 2024. We know we need to find a quarterback. I believe these two guys are the ones to find a quarterback. There's nothing that he could have said that was going to win over fans, but holy shit, you just, like, he dug himself a bigger hole than what he was already in by saying what he said. And that's why I've been sort of saying in our group chats, I've been saying, man, he's an unhinged guy. He's not somebody that is, and the crazy part about it is he doesn't talk to the media that much. Nope. Some of the other owners, you know, some of the other owners, and not just Jerry Jones, are kind of out there a little bit more. He's not like that. But man, when he opens his mouth and he starts talking, it can legitimately make your head explode when you listen to him. He'll say one thing and completely contradict himself a minute later. So he's a lost cause. I think he's a lost owner. He doesn't really know what he's doing. And I think that, you know, there are the decision making when it comes to the football operations is not solely based on the results on the football field.
Nope.
And whether it's financial decisions, whether it's the way the whole organization is structured, the ownership group, how, you know, it just seems like this is an organization that standards have been dropped and they keep dropping. It's an organization that's lost, and that's why you got 80% of your fan base or 70% of your fan base that's already, like, you know, either angry at you or just have nothing but apathy. And, you know, good luck. You know, hey, maybe John Mara's quest of chasing an outlier works this time, you know. But as a fan, I can sit here and tell you all I can hope for is getting lucky. Maybe you get lucky with the quarterback that just completely turns your organization around. Maybe you get lucky that the head coach and the general manager, I don't know, figure it out, you know? Because at the end of the day, that's it. That's all you got. You don't have faith that these guys can actually build a roster. You don't got faith in the owner who can actually hire the right people to build a roster. You don't trust their process. The results are the results. 3-14. So it's really just a lot of blind faith and a lot of hope for luck. That's it.
One other thing that he talked about at the press conference that I found very funny in light of Sunday was that, well, if they had tanked the game the last 2 weeks, I would have fired them both. And you can't look at me in a straight face and tell me they played their best players on Sunday. They didn't. They took starters out of the game on Sunday when the game was still a one-score game. Dable did not coach Sunday to win that game. He didn't. He took the starters out of the game.
Here's the thing about tanking, and I know it's been a topic of conversation for various reasons. When you're 3-11 or 2-11,
it looks like tanking when you're that bad. 4-12.
Don't talk to me about how these wins are important or these wins matter when you win two games all year. You know, I'd rather judge you based on the games you try to win than the games you're trying to lose. So forget about if I would have fired somebody if they were trying to lose. How about let's talk about these guys weeks 1 through 12 or 11 or 11 or 12 when they're trying to win and it looks like they're trying to lose. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about 35-14 against Baltimore. Let's talk about the game against Atlanta against a rookie quarterback where you lose 34-10 or 7 or 41-7. Let's talk about the Bucks game where you got ran out of the gym or the field when you got ran out of the field at home. Let's talk about the fact that you were 0-8 at home. You want to talk to me about tanking and how you that's your I will fire anyone that tries to lose games. Well, why don't you fire people that are losing games when they have to win? Let's talk about that, you know, because that's what the whole thing is supposed to be about. You know, fans aren't rooting for their team to lose every single year because they want the high draft pick. You put your fans in that position because the fans don't trust you enough that you'll be able to build the right way or you'll be able to, you know, you're good enough at your job where you can, you know, build a roster without having the highest draft pick possible. So, you know, you don't want your fans rooting for losing. You don't want your fans, you know, hoping that you guys tank games. Well, then maybe you should not make the season meaningless after Halloween. How about that? Because it's crazy when you think about it. For the last, I don't know, decade, you know, 9 out of 11 years, after Halloween or after Thanksgiving, I've been rooting for them to lose games because I want the higher draft. So it's, I don't want to hear about tanking. They have the worst record in the NFL in the last 8-9 years. Let's talk about that. Why do you have that?
That's why I find the tanking conversation so misguided. We all understand that when guys put the pads on, pull the helmet over their head, they're trying out there. The Giants just so happen to not be very good. So I can understand the frustration on a lot of people's counts that they won the Indianapolis game, but dumb luck happened. You know, they scored 40 some odd points for the first time in forever. Drew Lock was functional. And that's the difference between the assured quarterback and now where you're sitting. And I do want to talk about this ever so briefly. At 3, it almost benefits them that the two teams in front of them need a quarterback as well, because A, I don't think you're going to be able to talk Tennessee out of taking a quarterback in that first spot because they so desperately need one. I mean,
we'll see what their GM, who their GM is. I don't know what direction Tennessee is going in. It's kind of a up in the air situation.
That is definitely a good case. I forgot they fired their general manager this morning. And then Cleveland, you know, they probably want to take a quarterback. It's just a matter of if they'll have the conviction to do that, because the non-quarterbacks at the top of the draft are actually exciting. You know, I don't have to talk myself into Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or Mason Graham. Those guys are all really good. Or Will Johnson. Those guys all will walk onto the field and be one of the Giants' 4 best players as soon as they walk on the field. Whereas if you drop one of these young quarterbacks into this situation where you're probably going to need to do some free agency surgery on your offensive line again, you're probably going to need to go out and get a number 2 receiver, whether that's in the draft or in free agency, and you need a quarterback. So there are a lot of moving parts right now, and I am frankly worried, because looking at the quarterback position as the solution to the problem is how you end up on that quarterback carousel. And the every single day that goes by, I have more of an appreciation for Eli Manning's stability and consistency, because this is terrible. Every single week you watch your quarterback get in the shotgun or under center and just know it's not going to work. The Giants haven't had a functional offense for 2 years now. They've had one decent offense in the last 3 years, and that offense was only good for about 8 weeks, and then it kind of ran out of juice. And then you think about the offense under Jason Garrett, which was a miserable exercise. And you go to the offense under Pat Shurmur, which was probably the best of these offenses, but that team still wasn't good, so it didn't particularly matter. It's hard to get optimistic or excited, because like, you add a quarterback to a team that needs so much more than just a quarterback, and you tell me that's the solution, you're telling me you don't understand the problem. The Giants are so much more than a quarterback right now. You know, we said this a few weeks ago. We were talking about the prospects of like, well, you know, if you could, the Giants have gotten, if they had taken Josh Allen, if they had taken Lamar or Baker or Sam Darnold or whatever in that draft, would they have actually worked out on the Giants? And like, I don't think Josh Allen works out if the Giants take him. I'd be very weary that Lamar probably doesn't work out if the Giants take him. And that's kind of when you are consistently wrong on everything from every aspect of your organization. It's hard for me to believe this is going to go well. And then all you're doing in delaying this a year is making the mess worse. You know, that's kind of what happened in 21, where they had to eat a ton of dead cap that first year Shane was here. And we all gave them a pass that the roster was terrible because they had no cap
players. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't.
They could not.
Cut players. They couldn't sign players. It was just, you know, a throwaway year that they just somehow won 9 games and made the playoffs.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like you said before, all they got is hope. They don't have a plan right now. There is no solution here.
Well, I think they have a plan. I think their plan consists of how do we buy ourselves more time?
Yeah.
That's what I think their plan is.
Self-preservation, yes.
Exactly. In terms of the quarterback, I'm 100% for drafting a quarterback. If you think that this is a franchise quarterback, go ahead, take him, whatever. The problem is, based on what the owner said and based on the situation they're in, I don't want them to force themselves into liking a quarterback. If they were going to force themselves into liking a quarterback, I would much rather them have taken one last year, right? If you have to force yourself into a quarterback, I want to take my chances last year. The problem is that the dilemma you're facing is quarterback might go 1 and 2. Well, like, how desperate are you to now? You're going to give up additional cap space, additional draft capital to move up and get a guy. You already have a roster that's filled with holes. So how are you going to fill those holes? You know, you need to draft well, you need to build depth, but you're going to trade up for a quarterback. So it's a mess, man. Like I, in a perfect world, you know, and if Joe Shane is a man of his word, you know, when he speaks, and he's trying to do this the right way. And in an ideal world, you go and you pay for a stopgap quarterback. I'm just going to throw a name out there. You go sign Justin Fields. And I think you scout the quarterbacks. And if you like one, you know, again, going 3-2, I mean, I don't know how much that would cost, but you have your conversations. If you have that conviction and you hopefully don't recklessly spend your way into that spot, but it's just such a terrible situation that they're in, that I just don't see a pathway for them to be able to A, make the right decisions, and B, those decisions to work out. Because they're almost set up to fail, because this owner just seems like because of what the owner said. I wish I could sit here and tell you that if the Giants do get to 2 and take a quarterback, that's a big step forward in their quest to turn this around. Or if the Giants stay at 3 and, you know, take Travis Hunter or one of these quarterbacks fall to them, you know, they're going to be able to, you know, that's a great step in the right direction. Or if they're able to sign this veteran quarterback and kind of follow this model of the team that did this, that will work. There's just none of that. If you're asking me a quick 3-step plan, I would say at this point, sign Justin Fields, see if one of these quarterback lands, maybe see if you can buy yourself to that 3 or 1 or 2 spot to take a quarterback if you have a conviction on him. If not, I just think, hey, why not just try to add more good players to your roster? Why not take another blue chip player? You know, obviously do a better job with your quarterback situation, but like nobody expects, except John Mara, that this team is going to be a playoff team. But hey, add good players, you know, sign a bridge quarterback, try to see if one of these guys is a franchise quarterback. If you think they are, try to get to 1 or 2 and get them. Or maybe you get lucky and one of them falls into your lap, and then go from there. But there really isn't like a manual that I can read and say, oh, okay, this is how you do it. Because there isn't. And the added layer in all this is the fact that you have a GM and a head coach that are on the hot seat, that I think every day, every week, next season, after every loss, the topic is not going to be about the season or the team. It's going to be about, is he getting fired today? Is he going to get fired next week? How many more games? Like, that's that. And then, oh, by the way, hey, you might lose your offensive coordinator. And then the owner also said that he wants the defensive coordinator gone. So
good luck. They got a brutal schedule next year too, which that's a brutal schedule. You have the NFC West and the NFC North, I think. AFC West and
NFC West.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah. Just
whatever it is, they got a
brutal schedule.
Yeah. And so again, this is the dilemma you put yourself in. And I wish I knew a pathway forward that doesn't end with this regime getting fired and leaving the next regime, whoever that is, with a shit ton to have to clean up. Yeah.
One thing I wanted to do with you before we got out of here today, I wrote down a list of a bunch of different coaching candidates, and I just want you to tell me yes or no, they are better than Brian Daboll. You would trust them to be the head coach of this team. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vrabel.
Yes.
Ben Johnson.
Yes.
Marcus Freeman.
I know he's doing good right now, but no.
Ryan Day.
No.
Pete Carroll.
Yes.
Liam Cohen,
but not for this Giant team, but I do way better coach than Brian Daboll, yes.
Liam Cohen.
He sort of reminds me of a young Brian Daboll. Before Brian Daboll became the head coach of the Giants. Yes, yeah.
Brian Flores.
I think Flores, I have a lot of questions about Flores, if he can be successful as a head coach. I'm going to say cautiously yes, but I feel like those two are sort of the same thing.
Mike McCarthy.
Yes, I think McCarthy, in the past, I would not want Mike McCarthy, but after seeing the last 3 years in Dallas, I know they haven't won anything, but I think he's taken Dak to another level, and I think he'd be a perfect guy to come in here and help whatever quarterback is here. So yeah. McCarthy, yes. Plus, he's a better track record, too.
What he did with Cooper Rush this year was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was impressive.
Joe Brady.
No.
Josh McCown.
No.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Glenn.
Yes, I think Aaron Glenn is definitely somebody I would rather have or think would be a better coach than Brian Daboll.
Cliff Kingsbury.
No. Because I saw Cliff as a head coach, you got to be fair. Daboll went to the playoffs in a playoff game. Cliff has not done that, so no.
Jesse Minter.
Oof. Like Minter a lot, would have been high on my list for guys for the Giants to interview. But I got to be fair. Again, I understand Daboll, last 2 years, 9 and whatever. But again, he's went to the playoffs in a playoff game. So I'm going to say no with Minter.
Kellen Moore.
No, I think Daboll's better.
All right, and then this last group is all guys who have kind of petered out. Ron Rivera, Matt Nagy, Arthur Smith, Spags. I don't think any of those guys would be enticing to me, but...
I think Matt Nagy and Brian Daboll's head coaching career are sort of on similar paths.
Yeah.
Right now. The difference is I don't think Daboll got to work with a young quarterback and develop and mold a young quarterback as a head coach. If you're looking for something to hold your hat to, that's that. Like, hey, man, like that 1 year with Daniel Jones.
When he was healthy.
Yeah, like he put him in positions to make winning plays, and they won 9 games. So if you're looking for a silver lining, I think that's one. Like, hey, if they get a young quarterback in there, Daboll could, like, that. That would be one thing to be like, okay, I'm looking forward to that. But I think with Brian Daboll, the issue I have with him is I don't know how he can work with coordinators.
Yeah.
Are you just going to hire guys that you're comfortable with? Are you going to hire the right people? Sort of similar with John Mara.
Yeah.
Like, what are you looking for in a general manager? Are you looking for somebody that's going to get along with your family? Or you're looking at somebody that's going to tell you to your face that I don't want that guy as my VP of player personnel. I'm going to bring in my own people. Or I got to fire these 4 or 5 scouts that have been here for 30 years. And Daboll, it's like when Daboll came in and hired Wink, But we saw how that ended up after 2 years.
Wink did a good job in Michigan this year.
He did. And you see the Kafka stuff. Like, I want to take Daboll, the quarterback developer, which there's a lot of questions about that. We don't know. I certainly don't have the confidence as I once did. And we got to look at Daboll, the head coach. Like, I don't know.
Some guys are just better as coordinators. And like, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you can have a really nice career as a career coordinator. You know, Leslie Frazier has done a really nice job at a couple of different places as a DC. That's fine.
The thing with Daboll is that first year carries a lot of weight with me.
Yes.
It makes me say, okay, you know, because that was not a Joe Shane roster, obviously. No. That. The work that he did with Jones and the fact that he, you know, they had guys that were picking up off the street and they kind of fit him into what they were doing, and it worked, and they won a playoff. Like, no matter what people say,
you can't take that away.
And Brian Daboll's first year, he was the coach of the year and he won a playoff. And so that's why you have to be fair when you go through that list that you made. Like, do I think any of like the guys that I said no to, a lot of people will probably be listening to this and be like, how could you say that? Well, because Brian Daboll in his first year won a playoff game, and I think that carries weight. So, again, just rooting for them to luck into a lot of things. A couple of silver linings are the fact that, hey, maybe if they can land a young quarterback in the draft, that maybe Daboll can has some magic and can work it with them. Or if there was any magic that Daboll worked with Josh Allen, he can work it here. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, that's something we can sort of hang on to. But other than that, I mean, it's a lot of blind faith and a lot of luck.
And it, to some degree, that's kind of what you have to have. You know, you look at some of the success stories in quotes this year, guys like Bryce Young and Dave Canales, you know, they won 5 games. But going into next year, everybody's looking at them like, okay, they took a step. They got Bryce Young to being a functional NFL quarterback. Now, the question for that organization is, how good can we make the team around him? And then, exactly. Is he good enough? You know,
exactly.
There are steps in that process. And the Giants didn't accomplish anything this year, even in the losing, you know, because we still have Daboll and Shane here. You know, if you had moved on from those guys, you could have at least told me, well, we know they're not the answer. That's progress in your evolution, because
that's the easy thing.
Yeah,
like there's enough evidence there. Like that should have been the easy decision, and they couldn't even do the easy part.
Because the idea here, and the Giants used to do this with, because they used to have good coaches. The idea here is to have such a good coach that they stay for a long time. You know, you want to have a coach that's here 8, 9, 15 years, because everything flows through them and everything works through them. And you don't have to always be in this constant state of haphazardness. You want that stability to build out your team. And then you're consistently, your goal should always be, how can we get better? How can we make this team better? Are we good enough? And right now, the Giants roster is definitively not good enough. The coaching staff does not get the most out of the roster. The front office does not identify talent well. So there's nothing here that's like, we're getting an advantage from this. You know, going through that list, some of those guys have track records of success of doing this and why. You know, Vrabel's teams were never the most talented, but they were very physical and they were very well prepared. Pete Carroll's teams, they were always very well prepared. They were always pretty well coached. You go through these lists and like the Giants don't have any advantages. Their front office, their coaching.
They don't have leaders.
Nope.
They don't have coaches that you can put your faith in. They don't have a front office that can identify talent. Their owner is unhinged. They don't have real talent on their roster. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have dog. You know, they don't have that fire, that energy. You know, there's none of that. They have no identity. They have no culture. It's just emptiness and apathy and just depression when you think about them and you think about what they are. And I think in my mind, and again, this is something that I believe, part of the reason why I think John Mara didn't clean house is, number one, I don't think he had the appetite to go through another overhaul of his organization. Some of that could be financial. Some of that could be, again, how the ownership is structured. And number two, and I really do believe this, the Giants have fallen so much that I think John Mara was scared that either a head coach or a general manager would opt to go to the New York Jets over the New York Giants.
I have no idea who's going to take that Jets job. That's a great question.
The Jets don't have the number three pick in the draft,
no.
But the Jets have more talent.
Yeah, they got guys.
And I don't think John Mara could stomach a quality GM candidate, whoever comes to mind, say, hey, John, thanks for the interview, but I'm going to go work for Woody Johnson. I don't think that he, or a head coach doing that, I don't think that he could stomach that. Because, and I think that's one of the reasons why he
opted, I can definitely
see that, bring these guys back, because that's in my mind. Because right now, John Mara can pretend like there's standards and there's continuity and all these empty things. But at the end of the day, when I watched his press conference, I came away from a guy that has zero faith in those guys that he kept and is probably going to fire him a year from now. And that raises the question to me, hey, why don't you do it this year? And I think one of the reasons is you don't want to paint this image that you're constantly firing head coaches and you're constantly overhauling front offices. And the second reason is, I think there's some fear that a GM or head coach will say, hey, I'd rather go work for the other guy across the street.
I have one last question for you before we get out of here.
Sure.
Is there any team in a worse situation than the Giants right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I think Tennessee, Jacksonville. I'd say Cleveland with the Deshaun Watson thing. You know, the Giants don't have talent on their roster, but they're look. There's a famous quote. I was listening to somebody, and I should have wrote this down, but he basically said, "Hey, there's good teams and there's bad owners, and 9 times out of 10, when a team is bad, you look no further than the owner. What is the owner doing? Who is he hiring? Who is he firing? What hand does he have in all this?" And I think about the Giants. I think he was doing it in reference to the Golden State Warriors. And that's a different conversation for a different day. But I immediately thought about the Giants. So talent-wise, not a lot of teams that have less talent than the Giants. I would say they're probably the least talented team in the NFL right now. They don't have a quarterback under contract. Their only good offensive player is Malik Nabers and Andrew Thomas, but he's coming off injury. But organizationally wise, I mean, you tell me what Tennessee's doing.
Or yeah, they need a new GM. I imagine they probably need. I assume they're going to keep Brian Callahan. But
yeah, they are. Here's the thing: has Brian Callahan done enough in 1 year for you to do something that you wouldn't do for Mike Vrabel?
No.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. Jacksonville, same boat with Trent Baalke. Same type of mess. I don't understand.
The crazy thing about Jacksonville is probably one of the more sought after opportunities.
They have a decent roster. They have guys. You know, Brian Thomas is really good. I think if you're a good coach, you can do something with Trevor Lawrence. And
yeah, I was about to say, there's still people that are incredibly high on Trevor Lawrence who can look at the coaching and say, hey, the coaching has been the issue. Bad owner.
You know? Terrible.
And then he admits live on camera, they were doing like what me and you are doing, like we're side by side on the camera. And he just basically says, yeah, I would fire the coach. I would fire the general manager if the coach laid out a plan. And Baalke's like right next to him. It's like,
It's a mess. I'll leave you with this, listeners. I'll leave you with this. There's a Bill Belichick quote. I forget what book it was in, what Belichick book it was in, but Belichick says there are 32 teams in the NFL. Before we kick the ball off the tee for the week one, 12 teams have already eliminated themselves from playoff contention. Every single year before the season starts, there are 12 teams that know they're not good enough to make the playoffs. And then from there, there are about six teams that are decent but aren't very good. So they'll be that middle 12 to 18. And then of those final 12, there's maybe five teams that can win the Super Bowl. And that's every year. The Giants have been in that bottom 12 teams who have no chance of making the playoffs far too often for far too much of the last decade. And I know there are a lot of old heads who consistently say, you've seen X number of Super Bowls in your lives, be grateful for what you've got. And I understand that. I do. It's hard to win. There are a lot of franchises that haven't won a Super Bowl yet, but I'm not asking to win the Super Bowl. I'm asking to not be a joke. That's really all I'm asking for. Make the playoffs every other year, two out of 3 years, win a round, you know, once every 3 to 4 years. I'm not asking for Super Bowls here. I would sign up for what the Pittsburgh Steelers have been for much of the last decade, where they make the playoffs pretty consistently. They have great players like TJ Watt. They're fun to watch. The Giants are miserable. There is nothing to be excited about on a weekly basis. I would rather be that type of mediocre where you know you maybe win one game and that's like the best you can do in the playoffs. That's a hell of a lot better than what we're doing.
I'll ask you one last question before we go.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you this the more times we meet during the offseason.
Okay.
Who is the Giants starting quarterback for week one in 2025?
Sitting here right now, I would say whichever of Shador or Cam Ward doesn't go first overall. I think the Titans will definitely take a quarterback, and I can see a world where the Browns.
I need a name.
Whichever one doesn't go first overall. So I'm going to assume Cam Ward goes first overall. So I'll say Shador is the Giants quarterback.
Week one. Okay.
I think for right now, at least, until we get some clarity on what Tennessee's direction is and what Cleveland's direction is, frankly, I'm going to say that path. But obviously, you know, if they bring in a new GM and a change head coaches, or they take a GM who very clearly wants to put his stamp on the team, I think they definitely take a quarterback. And then we'll see with the Watson thing, you know, very subtly, the Browns leaking that, well, we have to see what his injury looks like next year as far as if he's going to be on the team next year. So if they can get out of it because of injuries, or they can find some workaround and they take a quarterback, I could see a world where the Giants are stuck. And then maybe we're talking Fields or Darnold or Garoppolo and Derek Carr, someone in that grouping, which isn't very enticing either.
Yeah. I know we've been saying we're going to wrap up, but I think before they get to the draft,
they'll know
they better have a veteran quarterback on their roster.
Yes.
So that veteran will know before we get to the draft. I think I'm there too. I think Shador is, right now, I would say he's my guess, but still a lot of stuff to be decided before then. But I'm going to write this down. And I'm going to ask you again. This is not like a gotcha thing.
It'll change.
Yeah, I want to see until we get to, you know, the draft or when it's established who the starting quarterback is. But yeah.
All right, that'll do it for this week's edition of NYG Weekly. We'll be back intermittently throughout the offseason, probably not weekly, but trying to keep at least, you know, bi-weekly for the purposes of sharing this misery with other people, because frankly, people like to revel in the misery collectively for whatever reason. So subscribe. Oh, go ahead, Weishi. I said
we're probably going to be back when they finish driving a bus over Shane Bowen, because it seems like there's like a campaign now of like, hey, he's the one.
Yeah.
That's going to be the guy that we're going to drive over on the bus.
And at that point, God willing, God help whoever takes these coordinator jobs, man. Yeah. This is miserable. All right. Subscribe. We'll talk to you guys real soon.
Peace.